Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Advaita Chandra Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.32 and Glories of Purushottam Das Thakur. So Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I know you're there on the call, so Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. So without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 32. Maitreya Uvacha Ityanuro Anukrosha Hridayo Bhagavan Ahasan Shiva Badhanjali Rajaputra Narayanam Parovacha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya continues, out of His godless mercy, the exalted personality Lord Shiva, a great devotee of Lord Narayan, continued to speak to the king's sons, who were standing with folded hands. Purport. Lord Shiva voluntarily came to bless the sons of the king as well as do something beneficial for them. He personally chanted the mantra so that the mantra would be more powerful, and he advised that the mantra be chanted by the king's sons, Rajaputras. When a mantra is chanted by a great devotee, the mantra becomes powerful, more powerful. Although the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is powerful in itself, a disciple upon initiation receives the mantra from his spiritual master. So when the mantra is chanted by the spiritual master, it becomes more powerful. Lord Shiva advised the sons of the king to hear him attentively. For inattentive hearing is offensive. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today we are discussing about the pastime of Lord Shiva and how he continued to speak to the king's sons. And Srila Prabhupada makes a very, very powerful statement that Lord Shiva came to bless the sons of the king, and he personally chanted the mantra so that the mantra would become more powerful when we hear it from great saints and sages. Then that power, that mantra has much, much more power. And if we hear the same mantra from the lips of not a pure devotee or not a devotee who is sincere, then the same consciousness is transformed in the mantra. Just like Srila Prabhupada says that just like milk tasted from the lips of a serpent is poisonous. Similarly, the nectar that comes, it becomes much, much more nectarian. Just like Srimad Bhagavatam, it said, Shukha Mukha from Srimad Bhagavatam Vinistritad. Srimad Bhagavatam came from the lotus mouth of Shukadev Goswami, and therefore it became much, much more sweeter. Because Shuka is also called as parrot. Shukadev Goswami is Srimati Radharani's parrot originally. And there's a wonderful story how he became, the parrot became Shukadev Goswami. But without getting into details, when a parrot eats a fruit, a mango, from the tree, and if we eat that mango, which is tasted by the parrot, then that mango becomes sweeter. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is already so sweet. But when Shukadev Goswami tastes that sweet, that sweetness of that mango, and then gives it to us, it becomes much, much more sweeter. And we are getting this in the parampara. That is the system of the parampara. And we are getting it from Vyasadeva to Madhvacharya to all the other devotees, to Madhavendra Puri, to Ishwara Puri, to Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis. And in this way, it is coming to us through Srila Prabhupada. And every Acharya is tasting this Srimad Bhagavatam and passing it on to us. And just like it becomes sweeter when a parrot tastes it, when all these Acharyas taste it and then they send, give it to us, it, what we are getting, the lower we are in the parampara, we, the tastier and sweeter the sweet the fruit gets. So this is true, that when the mantra is spoken by a pure devotee, then the mantra becomes very powerful. That's why in our sampradaya, the Gayatri mantra is spoken in the ear of the devotee by the spiritual master. And then that ear becomes purified, the entire consciousness becomes purified, and then we are qualified to chant the mantra in that way. Similarly, like the Hare Krishna Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is powerful in itself. But a disciple, upon initiation, when he hears it from his spiritual master, then it becomes much, much more powerful. Because now it has the shakti, it has the adhikar. Now, a question may arise, then what about all the mantras that we have been chanting before initiation? So when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra before initiation, does that not mean anything? Yes, it does have effect. But what it means is that For example, when we are going on a plane journey, the actual journey starts when we board the plane, right? When we board the plane and the plane starts, that's when we say, yes, we have started on the journey. But is it true? In order to board on the plane, before boarding on the plane, so much preparation has had to happen. We had to, from months before, we had to reserve the ticket. And then after that, we had to pack our bags and buy things and make sure that we have all the things prepared for us to start the journey. And whatever things we will need at the end of the journey, we have it with us already. And we pack our bags. We make sure our passport is there, our driver's license, everything is there. And then we reserve the cab, the Uber, or whatever we want to. And then we go to the airport, get our bags checked. All of these are steps that are essential before we make that first step on the plane. So getting initiation is like boarding the plane. But you can't just show up and board the plane. We have to have all this preparation that has to happen. And that, when we, whatever devotional service we are doing before initiation, it's preparing us for a smooth journey after initiation. Now, if we board the plane just without any preparation and just go there, we still start the journey, but it may be a bumpy ride in terms of, oh, I forgot to take this. When we reach our destination, we may not be really prepared. We may get sick during the journey if we are not careful enough. So many things can happen. So chanting before initiation is not unimportant. It's very important. But it's all preparing us for this journey when we get the mantra and the mala from the spiritual master. One time, Narad Muni asked Lord Krishna, "Krishna, what is the big deal about your holy name? I'm chanting, but what is the real effect of the glory of your holy name?" So Krishna said, "Oh, you want to know that? Okay. I'll tell you what, you have to do something in order to realize that." He said, "Yeah, what should I do?" He said, "Go to the planet Earth, and just now a butterfly has taken birth, like a caterpillar. Go there and tell my holy name in the ear of this butterfly." He said, "Wow, really? How would I know where to go?" He gave the exact location. And Narad Muni said, "All right, let me try." Narad Muni went to that place, and in the ear of that butterfly, he said, "Krishna." And as soon as he said Krishna in the ear of the butterfly, the butterfly just fluttered. It was a caterpillar at that time. It just went up and down, and then it died. And Narad Muni was, "What did I do? I just followed the instructions of the Lord. I just said Krishna in the name, and it just died." Oh my God, he went back to Krishna. He said, "Krishna, what did you make me do?" Krishna said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I asked you the glory of your name. You asked me to go chant your name in the ear of this butterfly, and as soon as I chanted, it just died. What happened?" And Krishna said, "All right, if you really want to know what happened, I'll give you another try. Go to the planet Earth back, and just now a baby deer has taken birth. Go and chant my name in the ear of this baby deer." He said, "This sounds weird." Narad Muni was like, "All right, it's your instruction, I'll try." He went. He found the baby deer that took birth based on the location that Krishna had given. And sure enough, the baby deer was there. And Narad Muni said, in the ear of this baby deer, "Krishna." And as soon as the baby deer heard this, The baby deer's eyes opened. It started trying to walk and then fall and walk and fall. And then right there, in front of its mother, this baby deer died. Narad Muni was, what kind of sinful activity that Krishna is making me do? He's making me kill all these innocent children of these animals. And Narad Muni went, hi, Krishna, what happened? What are you doing to me? I chant your name in the ear of these people, and they just die. What happens? What is this mystery? I just want to know the glory of your name. Krishna said, just be patient. Very soon, you'll realize. Just do one more thing. Narad Muni said, what else do you want me to do? He said, just now a king has given birth to a son, to a prince in this location. Go there and chant my name in the ear of this prince. Narad Muni said, no. I did a lot of things. I followed your instructions, but I'm not going to do this because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to chant the name Krishna in the ear of this prince, and this prince is going to die. You made me kill the butterfly, the deer, and now you want me to kill this prince? This is a human being. Krishna said, do you want to know the glories of my name? He said, yeah, I want to, but I don't want to kill people for that. He said, trust me. Have faith in my words. You go and you chant my name in the ear of this prince, and you will immediately know the glory of my holy name. And Narad Muni said, all right, I'll try. He went there, and then as soon as Narad Muni entered the court, the king, the queen, the court courtesans, they were all so happy. Oh, so auspicious, Narad Muni, you came. The prince has just arrived. He just took birth, and you came at such an auspicious occasion. Your coming is so auspicious. Please bless my son. And they took him, the king took him to the prince. The prince was lying there, and king said, please bless him. And Narad Muni said, you really don't want me to bless him because I know what happened last time. And king said, no. And so Narad Muni, very, very reluctantly this time, but with full faith in Krishna's instructions, closed his eyes and he chanted in the ear of the prince, Krishna. And then he waited and waited. He expected the prince to die, but nothing happened. And the prince opened his eyes, and then immediately in this infant baby form paid obeisances to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni said, what happened? The prince said, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you. He said, what happened? What did I do? The prince said, remember the butterfly? I was in the body of that butterfly. And then when you chanted the name of Krishna, I was in the body of the deer. You chanted the name of Krishna there. And then now, I'm in the body of this prince. It is because of the chanting of the holy names, hearing from your lips, that I have received this human form of life where I have now been given the opportunity to advance in spiritual life and go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. And then Narad Muni realized the glory of Lord Krishna's holy names. So when it is chanted by a devotee, by the spiritual master, it is much, much more powerful. And that's why when we hear Srila Prabhupada's Hare Krishna dhun, it is so purifying. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a very simple tune, very simple. But when we hear that, and it goes on during aartis, or during when we just listen to it, it's very, very purifying coming from Srila Prabhupada's own lips. So it is very important that we chant sincerely and hear our own chanting, but also hear it from the great soul's spiritual master. Also, in the previous verse, Lord Shiva advised the sons of king to hear him attentively, because Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, inattentive hearing is very, very offensive. Because when we chant inattentively, that's the 11th offense. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. After the 10 offenses, we always say that, because this is the root cause of all the other offenses. Inattentive chanting is the root cause of all the other offenses. But there are 3 stages that we have to go through for the chanting for attaining Shuddha Naam. There is Naam Aparad stage, then there is the Naam Abhas stage, and then Shuddha Naam stage. In the Naam Aparad stage, we chant offensively. We don't know about the 10 offenses. We may just chant out of vanity. We may not be attentive while chanting. We may not even sometimes know. Sometimes the Harinam is going on the streets and people hear the Harinam, and they may make fun of the devotees. Oh, look at those Hare Krishnas who are going. But they said Hare Krishna. One time, Srila Prabhupada was shown an article in the newspaper which was criticizing the Hare Krishna devotees. And the devotees said, Prabhupada, we should respond to this article. This article is so nasty. Srila Prabhupada said, no, this article is so nice. Devotees said, why are you saying that? Srila Prabhupada said, count the number of times they said Hare Krishna in the article. And then devotees counted and said, look, so many people will be reading this article, and so many of them will be chanting the holy names, will say Hare Krishna while reading this. So this newspaper is actually delivering. But when those readers read the Hare Krishna mantra, they are not reading it with proper attitude, and therefore it is Naam Aparad. But that Naam Aparad stage gives them some sukriti, at least. Then once they get association of devotees, and then they grow a little bit, we come to the stage of Namabhas. Namabhas is the clearing stage, where we are chanting the holy names, but deliberately trying to get rid of the offenses. We have not gotten rid of the offenses yet, but we are trying sincerely and deliberately. We are making sure, we may not be able to attentively chant, but we are trying our best to chant attentively. In the Naam Aparad stage, we don't even care about chanting attentively. We don't even know there's a thing about chanting attentively. But here we know we must be attentive. We chant the 10 offenses every day, and we try to follow avoid these 10 offenses in our life. And then slowly, when our heart becomes pure, then we are able to chant attentively. The biggest problem of attentive hindrance to attentive chanting is that we are believing our mind's advertisement. Because we feel when we are chanting and the mind gives so many thoughts, we are convinced that we must follow every thought, every impulse that the mind is giving. The best remedy to solve inattentiveness is to neglect the mind. Just neglect it. And it'll stop. It'll go away. All these distracting thoughts. Just like if a guest comes to our house, we give him attention. We give so much care. Now suppose some guest comes to our house and we completely neglect him. We just open the door. He comes in. All right, you're here. Fine. And we continue doing our work. The guest just roams around. He's like, can I get some water? Yeah, take it yourself. Or, you know, we just don't give any attention. We don't give any food. We don't give any, you know, we don't talk to them. We are continuing. We go back to our TV room and start watching TV while the guest is just sitting there. Or we just go to our bedroom and go to sleep. After a while, the guest will get the message and be like, well, I'm not treated well here. Let me just leave. So that happens. That's what happens with neglect. The mind will start trying to get attention. Hey, what about this? And what about your, you know, all these this revenge thoughts come to our mind, and all these thoughts about distractions come to our mind, and genius ideas come to our mind. But guess what? If we just neglect, if we just ignore all these things, the mind will get frustrated. It'll stop giving this. All right, what do you want? You want to focus on the holy name? Let's just do that. So one of the remedies that the acharyas explain about inattentiveness is to not believe the mind's advertisements and just ignore it. Because these advertisements of the mind are just like a projector projecting on smoke. Imagine you don't have a screen, but you have a projector, and you're projecting on just smoke. The smoke keeps changing its shape, and it doesn't have any meaning. One time it'll say, oh, this is very good. And the next moment it'll say, no, but it's actually bad. And this is, we should do this, and we should do that. And it keeps changing, keeps changing. There is no point following the impulses of the mind. Just ignore it. And the best way to ignore the mind is to focus on one mantra. Many times, the mind is taken away by the intelligence because we try to chant all of our rounds at the same time. Our mind goes, okay, I have to chant 16 rounds. I have maybe 1.5 hours. Okay, maybe I can chant 12 rounds now. So, and while I'm chanting, I'm planning all these things. The key to ignore the mind is to sleep the intelligence. Mind actually is by nature in the mode of goodness. Yeah, you might be amazed to hear, mind in the mode of goodness? I thought mind is what drags us to the mode of passion and ignorance. No, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the mind comes from the moon. The mind comes from the mode of goodness. It's the intelligence which drags it into passion and ignorance. The source of intelligence is in the mode of passion. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the second canto where it explains about how things come from different places, from the pradhan, how the creation is made, there it says, intelligence comes from the mode of passion, mind comes from the mode of goodness. So if the mind is separated from the intelligence, the mind goes back to its natural state of being in the mode of goodness. That is the theory also behind Vipassana meditation. Just observe the mind. Just let the mind do what it wants to, and then it'll calm down. Don't plan things based, don't give mind unnecessarily attention in terms of planning. The mind says, okay, I have to chant all these rounds, and how will I chant, and this and that. Just be calm. Don't put any planning or intelligence behind it. Give it a simple task. Focus on this one mantra. That's all that I'm chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's it. Your focus is just one mantra. Not even the one mantra. Focus on that one name that I'm chanting. That's all. O mind, you don't have to do anything else. Just focus on this one holy name that I'm chanting right now. That's all. Give it a very simple task. If we try to think, you know, try to tell the mind, chant all the 16 rounds, we have to chant. Then the intelligence comes into play. The whole goal is to get the intelligence separated from the mind. And that we can do when we can just tell the mind a simple task, focus on one mantra at a time. That's it. Don't even say at a time. Focus on one mantra. Because as soon as you say at a time, then suddenly intelligence kicks in. Oh, at a time, so how many times I have to chant and how many mantras and all of these things. No. How many did I finish so far? How many are remaining? These are all distractions. Just focus on this one mantra. That's it. Simple task. And then you will see the inattentiveness goes away. And as we practice more and more, the mind then comes in the mode of goodness, in the mode of, and then from there, when it receives and hears the chanting of the holy names, it can catapult into the transcendental mode of goodness, which is the Shuddha Sattva. Sometimes the mind may give thoughts of lust and pride and greed, anger, so many different things. And Srila Raghunath Das Goswami gives, even when we are not chanting, sometimes these thoughts come, negative thoughts. And Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he gives a cure. He gives a prayer for that. As soon as these thoughts come to our mind, these negative thoughts, immediately pray, O killer of Baka, please save me from these highwaymen. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami in his Mana Shiksha, he says that we are going on a journey on the freeway to the spiritual world. And on the freeway, there are some highwaymen. There are some people who are out to rob us from all our wealth, from the wealth of the holy name. And these robbers are lust and its friends, which is pride, greed, envy, anger. And whenever during our regular course of life we are overcome by these thoughts and by these impulses, we should go and pray to Krishna, the killer of Bakasura. The way Krishna killed Bakasura, please protect me. And if we can in our mind go to take Krishna's shelter right at that time, then this will be very, very useful. From Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Because we should understand our only shelter is Krishna's holy name and nothing else. Everything else is just like taking shelter of a stone in the middle of a storm in the sea. We are in the ocean, we're trying to stay afloat, and we're trying to look for some shelter of a boat. But then suddenly we find a stone and we cling on to the stone. That stone is going to take us down. So taking shelter of drugs, taking shelter of lust and greed and pride and anger and feeling that this is what will save me. Feeling that I have a good bank balance of greed. And so this will save me. I'm good now. Everything's fine. That's like taking shelter of a stone. We need to take shelter of the boat of the holy name of Krishna. And this will come by practice. As we train our mind to get detached from the intelligence and focus on just one mantra, it won't come right away. We will still be distracted. But Krishna is seeing how much are we trying. Krishna says that karmanya vadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana, that just focus on the process. Focus on what you can do. And if you try your best with a mood to please Krishna, Krishna is pleased just by that effort. Result is on Krishna's hand. Ultimately, if we are able to control our mind or not, if we are able to chant attentively or not, ultimately it depends on Krishna. And that's what we believe in. But Krishna will reciprocate based on our effort. And if Krishna is pleased with our effort, then he will give the result that is most appropriate for our spiritual advancement. But for us, we should helplessly take shelter. We should feel, not just think, but feel from our heart that there is nothing else that can actually save me. Sometimes Krishna will put us in these situations where we will be forced, where it'll be a hopeless situation sometimes. And in that hopeless situation, we will find real hope. In that seemingly materially hopeless situation where everyone has abandoned us, we may find hope, real hope, in taking shelter of the holy names. And then we will be able to chant with real feeling. But let's not wait for Krishna to do this to us. Let's voluntarily try to build that feeling that truly nothing else is going to give me shelter except Krishna's holy names. And in that helpless state, when we take shelter, then we will be attentive automatically. Then we will put our effort to just focus helplessly on that one mantra, just like Ajamil. Why did Ajamil get the second chance? Because Srila Prabhupada says, he translates the verse which says, because Ajamil chanted properly. The verse, actually, if you see the word-to-word translation of the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam about Ajamil, when the Vishnu Dutas came, it says Anugrinit, which means he chanted properly. But Srila Prabhupada translates it as because Ajamil chanted with helplessness. He translates chanting properly to chanting helplessly. Because Ajamil understood, he was calling the name of his son, Narayan. He was not even calling to the holy Lord Narayan. He was calling his son, but he was calling helplessly. He knew there was no other, because at the time of death, at the time of crisis, we are automatically drawn to the thing or the person that we are most attached to. And if we are most attached, Ajamil was most attached to his son, Narayan. And so he helplessly, automatically called the name Narayan. But he called it helplessly. That's why the Vishnu Dutas came. It almost was at the level of Namabhas. That's why he got a second chance. If you would have really meant it and called to the Supreme Lord Narayan, he would have gone back to the spiritual world. But even though he did not call for the Supreme Lord Narayan, he at least chanted helplessly, called his name helplessly, and help came. So we have to, that's why Srila Prabhupada, in every purport of Srila Prabhupada, you'll see two things, especially in Bhagavad Gita. One is, he is splashing the materialism. Every purport he's saying, this material world is a place of misery, and we can never be happy here. And secondly, he is saying things against the Mayavadis. These are the two things in every purport of Srila Prabhupada. He's trying to convince us, unless we are convinced that this material world, we cannot find any happiness, cannot find any shelter. Any shelter that we take of any material thing is like taking shelter of a stone which is going to take us down. Unless we take shelter of hopelessness. And this helpless feeling will come if we keep meditating on the miseries of this material world. Sometimes devotees say, or people tell devotees, you know, you are so negative. You know, you're just talking about death all the time, and you're saying this material world is a place of misery. There's so much happiness in this material world. Yes, there is just enough happiness to keep you attached to this misery, to the miseries. But the purpose is to keep us miserable. And unless we are convinced of this fact, it will be very difficult for us to take shelter of the holy names. And that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda have come to this, to us, and given, broke open the storehouse, the treasure house of love of God, and given us through these holy names. And if we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they will qualify us to chant the holy names. We are not qualified to call out Krishna's names. We have turned against him and come to this material world, and now we are going back, oh Krishna, as if we are qualified. No, we should know we are not qualified, but our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, they have given us the qualification. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda have given us the qualification. That's why Srila Prabhupada recommended. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati recommended, and Srila Prabhupada says in many purports of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that before we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we must chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. This will help us come out of the offensive mentality by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So as much as we can chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda and take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they will help us take shelter of the holy names of Krishna. That's why Lord Nityananda prays, Bhaja Gaurango, Kaho Gaurango, Lao Gaurangera Namare, Ye Jana Gauranga Bhaje, Seho Yamar Pranare, Bhaja Gaurango, Kaho Gaurango, Lao Gaurangera Namare. Please, Lord Nityananda begs, please take the name of Lord Gauranga. Worship Gauranga. Those who take the name of Gauranga, they become my heart and soul, and I become a sold-out servant to them. This is Lord Nityananda's plea. Please do this to us. And if we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, their holy names, that will help us to take shelter of Krishna's holy names. And if we take shelter of the holy names of our spiritual masters, of Srila Prabhupada, and then so some devotees ask, then why should we not just chant Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's holy names? After all, they are Krishna and Balaram themselves, they are Krishna and Ram. Yes, we can, we should chant, but if we really respect them, then we will follow their instructions. Lord Chaitanya instructs to chant what? To chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's why we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra while taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and our spiritual masters in the disciplic succession. And Lord Nityananda is so merciful. One time, Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving during Nityananda Trayodashi, he gave a lecture in Ahmedabad, and he was saying, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, but Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. And he said that, and he started crying. He became very grave, and suddenly tears started falling. And devotees, Prabhupada's disciples who were sitting on the front row, they could attest that there were tears coming out like spears from his eyes, and they were coming onto the devotees. And then Srila Prabhupada closed his eyes and went inside, and he told devotees, continue kirtan. It was just a two-line lecture. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, but Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. and a one of the great associates of Lord Nityananda, his disappearance day was this week. His name, Purushottam Das Thakur. Purushottam Das Thakur was one of the associates of Lord Nityananda. There is a very wonderful verse about Purushottam Das Thakur where it says in Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, it explains who Purushottam Das Thakur was. Gaura Ganodesh Deepika is written by Kavi Karnapura, who is the son of Shivananda Sen, explaining who was who in from Lord Chaitanya's pastime, who was in Lord Krishna's pastime. So Sri Purushottam Das Thakur, it says, Sada Shivasuto Namna Nagara Purushottama Vaidyavam Sodhavo Namna Damayo Vallavo Vraje. Nagar Purushottam was previously the cowherd named Dama in Vraja. He is now born in a Vaidya family as the son of Sadashiva. So the father of Purushottam Das Thakur, his name was Sadashiv Kaviraj. That's why it says Sadashiv Suto Namna. And his name became Nagar Purushottam. But he was called Purushottam Das Thakur. He was, from his childhood, he was just so attached to Lord Nityananda. But in his Krishna Leela, he is one of the 12 Gopas, the 12 Priya Sakhas of Krishna, who are known as Gopas. He was the Gopa named Dama. There are 12 Gopas who are very dear to Krishna, who are confidential associates, friends, cowherd boyfriends of Krishna. They are Sridama, Sudama, Dama, Vasudama, Kinkini, Stoka Krishna, Asnu, and Bhadrasena, Poundraka, and Poundarka, and Viktanka, and Kalavinka. So Dama, Sridama, Sudama, Dama, Vasudama. Dama is Purushottam Das Thakur. And he was born in a family where 4 generations were actually eternal associates of Lord Krishna. His grandfather was Kamsari Sen. Kamsari means the enemy of Kamsa, which is Krishna. And Kamsari Sen is said to be Ratnavali Sakhi of Srimati Radharani. Purushottam Das Thakur's grandfather was Kamsari Sen. Purushottam Das Thakur's father was Sadashiv Kaviraj, who is considered to be Chandravali. And he himself, as the third generation, was Dama, and his son was Kanu Thakur. Kanu Thakur was also one of the Gopas. So 4 generations of eternally perfect direct associates of Lord Krishna. When Kanu Thakur, his son, was born on the Rath Yatra day, after a few days his wife Janava, who shared the same name as Lord Nityananda Prabhu's wife, she left this world, and Lord Nityananda was so affectionate to Purushottam Das Thakur that he personally came and took care of Kanu Thakur. And he actually at that time named the son Shishu Krishna Das, that baby Krishna Das, Shishu Krishna Das, his name was. And later, Jiva Goswami, later Shishu Krishna Das, when he was 5 years old, Janava Mata personally adopted Shishu Krishna Das, the son of Purushottam Das Thakur, because he didn't have a mother at that time. Janava Devi, the wife of Lord Nityananda, personally adopted him and took him to Vrindavan with her. and introduced him to all the Goswamis, all the devotees, especially Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami named, very affectionately named Shishu Krishna Das as Kanu Thakur. And that's how he came to be known as Sri Kanu Thakur, Purushottam Das Thakur's son. In fact, Kanu Thakur was famous because he was dancing in Vrindavan. And he was dancing so ecstatically that his ankle bell flew away. And it says that his ankle bell flew and came to Bengal. And he said, wherever my ankle bell goes, that's where I will stay. So Kanu Thakur stayed in Jessore, Bengal. He was also there in the Keturi Gram festival, the famous festival. The first Gaur Purnima was arranged in Keturi Gram by Narottam Das Thakur, and Janava Mata was there, and Kanu Thakur was also there. And it was very famous in that first Gaur Purnima festival, arranged by all these great acharyas. Lord Chaitanya, even though he had disappeared from this world, he personally appeared in that festival, in that kirtan in Keturi Gram, the Gaur Purnima kirtan, when devotees started chanting and dancing. They could see Lord Chaitanya amongst them. And Kanu Thakur was in that great assembly. Kanu Thakur was son again of Purushottam Das Thakur. And Purushottam Das Thakur's, he had a few disciples. One of the disciples was Madhava Chattopadhyay, also known as Madhavacharya. He was the son-in-law of Lord Nityananda, was a disciple of Purushottam Das Thakur, Madhavacharya. He was married to Lord Nityananda's daughter, Ganga Devi. And he was a disciple of Purushottam Das Thakur. This is the glory of Purushottam Das Thakur. He was so absorbed in Lord Nityananda's meditation and kirtan that one time he drank snake poison, but he did not have any effect because he was in such a trance at that time. So we pray to Sri Purushottam Das Thakur and to his entire family of great devotees to allow us to take shelter of Lord Nityananda, to take shelter of Lord Nityananda's representative, Srila Prabhupada, and our Guru Maharajas, and all the previous acharyas, in a very helpless state of mind. We can always remind ourselves that this material world is not a place for us to be. We need to, the only way we can find real happiness is to truly take shelter, sincerely take shelter of the holy names, chant attentively. It's like when we have our examination, at that time, whatever we read, we are so attentive. It's just, you know, in 2 hours our examination is there and we are studying and it just goes into our mind so perfectly. And we are so attentive at that time because we are helpless. We are like, whoa, 2 hours remaining for my examination. I need to complete my studies. I need to be very, very attentive. So inattentiveness is nothing but complacency in one sense. If we come out of this complacency and realize the samsara davanala, the forest fire that we are surrounded with, we will helplessly run to take shelter of the holy names. Just like the Vrajvasis, when there was a forest fire, there was a pastime of Krishna. The Vrajvasis, when there was a forest fire, the Vrajvasis, they did the best thing that they could do. Just call out, Krishna, Krishna. And then it's up to Krishna whether he comes to save or he saves them by letting them, get burned in the forest fire. That's up to Krishna. But their natural instinct is to please call out helplessly to Krishna. That itself is success. So with this instruction from Lord Shiva to hear attentively, and with this instruction of Lord of hearing this mantra from such great devotees, we will end this class with this prayer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we can take now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for this class. Very nice class. A couple things. One is, when we chant the Panchatattva mantra before the Maha Mantra, we do so as a way of taking shelter of the Panchatattva. But how to actually take shelter when we recite it so that it isn't merely recitation?
Well, if we can, before chanting, if we can like prepare our mind, and that's why actually Srila Prabhupada, before chanting, before the chanting session during the Mangalarti, he has us go through these Mangalartis of Mangalacharan prayers, taking shelter of the Guru, then taking shelter of Lord Narsingadev, taking shelter of Tulsi Devi, chanting the 10 offenses. This is actually preparing our mind to come in the mood of taking shelter. The Mangalacharan prayers remind us, Samsara Dava Nala Nila Loka. It's a forest fire. And therefore, I need to take shelter of the Guru. And through Guru, to Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Tulsi Maharani. Tulsi Maharani, we pray, I'm so sinful, but you are so wonderful that you can fulfill all the heart's desires to serve Radha and Krishna. Please, please help me. Help me avoid these offenses. And if we meditate on these aartis, not just do them ritualistically, but truly meditate on the meanings of each and every word that we are singing, that will have the effect of bringing us in the proper mood when we sit for chanting. Srila Prabhupada didn't put the aartis before the japa session during the morning program just because it's ritualistically something good. No, this was all a planned thing. Srila Prabhupada personally designed the morning program where you can, if we follow the entire morning program, we are doing all the 64 practices of devotional service, 64 items of devotional service. So, but if we just be mindful when we are chanting these prayers and meditate on the meaning every day, then we will automatically come in the mood of taking shelter. And then we say, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Then we will actually be able to take shelter. We cannot take shelter unless we feel that we need shelter, unless we feel that we are in a situation where we are helpless. So all these aartis, these Vaishnava songs and prayers, they lead us to they wake us up to the reality that we are taking shelter right now of sinking stones. Let's take shelter. So the more we meditate on these prayers, the more we will be able to take shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra, of the Panchatattva mantra. And then Panchatattva will help us take shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra, like that.
Yeah, you know, I think what I need is maybe a paraphrase of this phrase, taking shelter. Like when we take shelter of this or that, you know, another way of saying that would be, I'm trying to think. No? I don't know. Maybe what's the meaning of taking shelter of the Panchatattva?
Oh, the meaning of taking shelter of Panchatattva?
Or anything. Taking shelter of Tulsi. taking shelter of Panchatattva, taking shelter of this or that. What do we mean by that?
Oh. The meaning of, it's like if you're walking in scorching sun, and suddenly we find a tree. We go inside the tree, take the shade of the tree to save us from that scorching sun. So in effect, going into the shade of the tree is like taking shelter of the tree. The tree is there already giving shelter. It's just that we were not taking shelter of the tree. So Krishna is already eager to give us the shelter, his shelter. But we are not taking that opportunity to accept his shelter. So it's in that way. So we are scorching with so many material desires. We are in distress with happiness as well, and we are in distress with distress as well. So taking shelter means to realize that there is that we cannot find happiness anywhere else. That's what it truly means to take shelter. To realize that I belong to Krishna and Krishna belongs to me, and therefore I have to build a relationship with him. So taking shelter means building a relationship with Krishna. And when you're in a relationship, we don't cheat. Otherwise, it affects the relationship. Although, we've been cheating for a long time with Krishna in terms of we have a relationship from Krishna's side. He is always fulfilling his part of the relationship. But we are always trying to go out and have relationship with other things. Material things. But taking shelter means to realize that we are in a relationship with Krishna first and foremost. And so I must do things that foster that relationship and avoid things that are harmful for that relationship with the Holy Name. So it is said that taking shelter or Sharanagati is a thing which says that there are six limbs of Sharanagati. How can you know that you are taking shelter? How can you know that you are taking Sharanagati? It says, Anukulasya Sankalpaha Pratikulasya Varjanam Gopatritve Anukulasya sankalpaha pratikulasya varjanam rakshishyati iti vishvaso gopatritve varanam tatha atmanikshepa karpanyam shadvidha sharanagati. These are the six elements of taking shelter. And this can be a whole class in itself, but in short, is to do things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. Anukulasya sankalpaha. And pratikulasya varjanam, to not do things that are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness or unfavorable for developing our relationship with Krishna. Once we do these two things, then we will automatically develop faith. Rakshishyati iti vishvaso, to have always faith that Krishna will protect me. And this faith will come when we are doing these two things. And if we do these two things but then don't have faith that Krishna will now protect me because I'm doing these two things, then we are not really sheltered. If we are still fearful that, so many situations have come, what will happen, this, that, then that means we have not taken shelter. Rakshishyati iti vishvaso gopatritve varanam tatha. And we are actually thinking that we are dependent on Krishna. This dependence on Krishna is very important feeling depending on Krishna, meaning we are depending, we are not depending on any person, we are not depending on any demigod, we are not depending on any favorable situation. We are depending on Krishna, come what may, just like the Pandavas. When there were good things or bad things, they were just depending on Krishna for whatever happens, and just focus on fostering their relationship with Krishna, focus on doing their bhajan, and Krishna will take care of everything else. Shraddha kore vishwas, shraddha shabde vishwas kore sudhira nishchay, Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma siddha hoy. Which means shraddha, or that faith or dependence on Krishna, is the vishwas, is the confidence that if I just do devotional service, all other things will be taken care of. Then Atma Nikshepa Karpanyam. These are the last two. Atma Nikshepa is completely offering ourselves to Krishna, and Karpanyam with humility. Humility means just being honest that, you know, all credit goes to Krishna. There's no credit comes to me. It's not because of me. It's because of Krishna's mercy. Actually, I don't deserve it, but He's still giving me. That's humility. And therefore, humility means being grateful. So if we are taking shelter, we should check, are we doing these six things? If we are not, we are not taking shelter. And if we are, if we want to take shelter, then we should do these things. Then we know we have taken shelter of Krishna. Does that address your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much for being so thorough. So I understand that, taking shelter means having that sense that I'm totally dependent on my relationship with Krishna for my well-being, right?
Yes.
And
not on anything else.
Yeah, not on anything else. So when we say, for example, that's taking shelter of Krishna. But so then when we say that we should take shelter of Tulsi Maharani, for example,
mm-hmm.
then how do I apply it there, the same, how do I apply that to Tulsi?
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. When we, Tulsi Maharani and Panchatattva, they are all taking shelter of Krishna. So taking shelter of Tulsi Maharani or Panchatattva or Guru means ultimately taking shelter of Krishna, because they are 100% dependent on Krishna. They are 100% doing all these six limbs of Sharanagati. So if we take shelter of someone who is taking shelter of Krishna, that means we are trying to learn from them, and we are asking and begging for their blessing to take shelter of Krishna in our relationship with Krishna, to help us in build our relationship with Krishna too. And when we build our relationship with Krishna, we also realize our relationship with Tulsi Maharani, with Panchatattva, with every living being in this universe, through that relationship with Krishna. So taking shelter of Tulsi Maharani also means taking shelter of Krishna, because Tulsi Maharani is taking shelter of Krishna. And if you do these six things to Tulsi Maharani, which means if you are dependent on Tulsi Maharani, if you are grateful to Tulsi Maharani, with humility you are saying, Tulsi Maharani, I need your mercy because I'm not even qualified to approach Krishna. If we are doing things that please Tulsi Maharani, anukulasya sankalpa, and not do things that displease Tulsi Maharani, what will please Tulsi Maharani? If we perform devotional service to Krishna and be respectful to devotees and avoid offenses, and what will displease Tulsi Maharani? If we take shelter of anything else other than Krishna. So if you apply these six limbs of Sharanagati to even taking shelter of Tulsi Maharani, taking shelter of Guru, and make sure that you're doing these six limbs of Sharanagati, then ultimately you will end up taking shelter of Krishna anyways. But in short, just apply these six limbs to whoever you're taking shelter of. We can also choose to take shelter of our bank balance, or of our take shelter of our beauty, or take shelter of our health. And we can apply these six limbs. We can anukulasya sankalpa. We can do things favorable for our health, and not do things unfavorable for our health. And we can have faith that our health, if we keep good health, everything will happen. And we can do that too. But that is going to disappoint us if we take shelter of just anything material, our health, our beauty, our knowledge, or even our bank balance, because that's also taking shelter, applying these six limbs, but that is like taking shelter of sinking stone. You can also apply your relationship with the sinking stone, but it's not going to help you. It's going to disappoint us. That's the root cause of our suffering and misery, is because we are taking shelter of all these things other than Krishna or his devotees, pure devotees. So now our real happiness is to apply these six limbs of Sharanagati to Krishna, to all the things related to Krishna.
Yeah, applying the, you know, trying to follow the six limbs is to take shelter of, is the same as taking shelter of Tulsi and the Panchatattva, because that's what they want us to do.
Yes.
So basically, when you take shelter of somebody, you're basically just following, is equivalent to just following their instructions for you.
Yes, but following the instructions to build a relationship. We are not just following instructions for the sake of following instructions.
We want to
give it a personal form, have a relationship. Just like we have a relationship with a person, and we commit to that particular person, and then we don't stray, or we don't cheat. And if we cheat, then there are consequences and things like that, and all of those things. And then that relationship gets hurt. But similarly, the same thing happens with our relationship with the Holy Name. If we do any offenses, it affects our relationship with the Holy Name. The Holy Name feels bad. But Krishna is so merciful. For lifetimes after lifetimes, he is still continuing to forgive us and continuing to be willing to accept us. Now it's our turn to turn to him and him alone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take Krishna consciousness as a relationship, that'll keep things in perspective, and it'll become more personal than if we take it just as a process. It's a process, but it's the process to build a relationship. It's just not just a process for the sake of process.
No, sir. No, sir. Yeah. Oh, thank you for so patiently answering this question, Prabhu. I really appreciate it. Oh, just one, just very quickly, you know, where could I find those 12 Priyasakhi names?
The names of the 12 Gopas, I can send you the names in the group.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Thank you so much for the...
Hare Krishna Prabhu, do you have time for one more question?
Yeah, I have time as long as you...
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
As long as the organizers are okay with it.
Oh, okay. Mataji's, is that okay? Is it okay?
Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I just want to thank you so very much for the class. It's I love how Krishna works. Everything, your entire class was tailor-made for me the last couple of days, so I'm very grateful. And I just have a very kind of simple and practical question in regard to something that you said at the beginning of the class. So one of the things that I do is I teach yoga asana classes, and I teach many classes, and some places that I teach at, I can preach directly, and others I cannot. And so what I always do in my classes is I make sure that I play the Maha Mantra. But just last night, I was teaching a class, and I realized that when I was playing the Maha Mantra, it was sung by someone who was a kirtaniya, but not a devotee of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering, you know, as I was playing it last night, I was thinking, what is the effect? Am I helping them? Am I helping my students by playing this particular one because it was not a devotee singing it? And so I would just love to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Well, Srila Prabhupada, in all of his books and in his purports, he has mentioned about, and even in the, if you hear the purport to the Hare Krishna mantra that he sang, in that also he personally says that we should hear from the lips of a pure devotee and like that. But pure devotee also means that someone who has the intention to please Krishna. They may still have the anarthas in their heart, but as long as their intention is sincerely to try to please Krishna and not a motive of the purpose not being trying to either get any benefit, any other material benefit from the chanting, either money or fame or things like that, then that chanting will affect the heart. Prabhupada would never was not very choosy about only those kirtaniyas who have the proper beat and rhythm. I mean, he said anyone who chants from the heart sincerely to please Krishna and he has a sincerity of that purpose, he can chant and it will have effect. And if there is proper tune and meter and proper instruments and everything, that will enhance it. But so if you really want to benefit your students, then as per Srila Prabhupada's instruction, that it should be from a devotee who is sincere. Now, there are many devotees who have sincere intentions, but they also sing and they make money out of that and all of that, and that's okay. As long as their purpose is to please Krishna, they chant to please Krishna, that will really have some effect in people's hearts to make them devotees. Otherwise, it'll be just like any other performance. And sometimes it may be worse, like Srila Prabhupada says, that it may destroy their devotion. Because even in Lord Chaitanya's time, there was one devotee who was chanting Ram, 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 all the time, Ram's name. And Lord Chaitanya told his disciples followers, not to associate with this person because he was chanting the name of Ram to become Ram. So even Mayavadis, they chant the name of Krishna and Ram, but their purpose is to become Krishna, to become Ram. And we chant to beg to be engaged in the service of Krishna. So with what intention, with what purpose they are chanting, that is carried in the sound vibration of the chanting. The mood is being carried. If you carefully select singers who are chanting with devotion, as well as are good kirtaniyas, then that will help devotionally help your students much more spiritually. Those are my two cents.
Thank you so much. Yes, I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Abhita Chandra Prabhuji. Thank you for such a wonderful class. I really liked how you conveyed the messages by, you know, talking about the pastimes. This was beautifully, beautifully illustrated. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mata.
Do we have any more questions for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Koti Koti Danvat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, how nicely you explained the Narad Muni story and the pastime of other Vaishnava. Prabhuji, and the moral of the story is to chant our round attentively. When we are staying in a grupa, Prabhuji, in a japa grupa morning, that japa quality is really very good, Prabhuji, 11 or 12 round. But Prabhuji, after that, if we do a japa in our lunch time or sometimes in the evening time, that is totally mechanical, Prabhuji. Please forgive me why it's happened with me or with all the Vaishnava.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji, for the question. That's very natural, because if we chant in the association of devotees, we do get affected by the moods of the other devotees, in the mood in which they are chanting, and that encourages us and that affects our mind also. So it's always recommended to chant in the association of devotees. But if some rounds we are not able to chant in the association of devotees, then we should... We can create an environment within our mind, thinking as if we are chanting in the association of devotees, and that now that I'm going for chanting, now my whole life I have suspended. I've pressed a pause button on everything that's happening in my life, and I'm going deep into just my relationship with Krishna, feelingly offering my feelings to Krishna, feelings of love, feelings of gratefulness, while chanting, and these feelings will then absorb us into, keep us attentive. You can also imagine that, before you start chanting outside of association of devotees, you can actually imagine that devotees are around you and they are chanting, and you can chant with them. Or sometimes devotees play a tape of Srila Prabhupada chanting, or their spiritual masters chanting. And if it helps you in focusing on the holy names to hear others chant while you are also chanting, and others are chanting softly, then you can put a tape of Srila Prabhupada softly chanting. Now, I've had different feedback. Some devotees feel that although that's very helpful, useful, but it kind of distracts them. They tend to keep hearing Srila Prabhupada chanting rather than their own selves chanting. And Srila Prabhupada's instruction is that we should hear ourselves chant. So it works both ways. But if it works for you and you feel like it helps you chanting in the association of devotees, you can chant in association of Srila Prabhupada. Have a tape of him chanting while you are chanting, and one of his tapes, when he is chanting japa, he chants the Hare Krishna mantra, and after some time he says sit properly, and so we get his instruction also to, if we are slumping down, immediately get to sit properly and start chanting. So that's one way that you can do.
Yes, Prabhuji, koti koti dhanvat pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. All right, if there are no more questions, we can end here.
Absolutely, Prabhuji. So once again, Prabhuji, thank you so much for your association today. And we really look forward to having your association again in the future. With that, we would like to wrap up the call now. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, ग्रंथ भागवतम की जय, शिला प्रभुपाद की जय, फिर से अद्वैत छंद
प्रभु जी के जय।
थैंक यू, ब्यूटीफुल, हरे कृष्णा।